The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
This podcast is sponsored by Blue House Mallet Shop, found at malletbuilder.com.
It's almost more important that the kids understand that you want them to understand life, and then band comes after that. Like taking care of people, asking them, are you feeling okay today? I saw you, you know, you're upset, or I heard that your grandmother's sick, or, you know, teaching them about if you do this in real life, you're going to get a great job. If you do this in real life, you may lose your job. And we really have tried to take the life approach first, band approach second, but all still the while on being accountable, being dedicated, learning to communicate.
That's Trey Harris, the band director at Bassett High School, talking about how he has built a strong and successful band culture for his program. You'll be inspired by his approach, and he shares very practical things you can also do that can be absolutely transformative.
They'll go at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and stay from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock and sit with their trombone in the middle of 7th and 8th grade trombone players and play the middle school all-district piece, you know, nice. Or take them on the scale or do this. But again, the coolness to a middle school student that a senior in high school was sitting here playing with me, they see that as I can't wait to get up there.
This is an excerpt from an hour-long webinar that you can watch at marchingartseducation.com. Building the Band Culture on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by Blue House Mallets, found at malletbuilder.com. Blue House makes keyboard percussion mallets for students, educators, and performers in three collections. The Primary Performer Series is designed for years of reliable use in the ORF classroom. The Concertmaster Collection is perfect for the developing percussionist. And their Contemporary Artist Collection is a set of premier mallets for a complete range of marimba and vibraphone performance. With models for the classroom to the concert hall, the recording studio to the marching field, Blue House builds exceptional tools for musicians to engage their creativity and express their passion. Build your sound in the finest custom mallet build shop on the web at malletbuilder.com. Greg and Trey, where would you start in a discussion about building band culture? Trey, what would you say first? What comes to mind first?
Well, I know where I am. Our culture is... we try to create the most of a 6-12 culture, at least in the band world. My middle school band director and I are best friends. We do everything together. I go to the middle school every day. He comes to the high school, not during class. His schedule doesn't allow him to come during our class, but he comes to every Friday night football game, every band camp, after school rehearsals, parades, just about everything. So we really try to treat it as a 6-12 program and not as a middle school band, and then you come to the high school. It's more of a, this is the band program. There's this Field Oak Collinsville Middle School, and I'm at Bassett High School. But it's just our band program. It's not you do this for 3 years and then you come to us. It's more of a family atmosphere all the way through those 7 years.
Yeah. I would think that, so I've had an opportunity to know Trey now for, Trey, is this year 24 for you or 23? What year are you in over there at Bassett?
24 at Bassett.
24. And so yeah. I've had an opportunity to watch. I remember when you first got your job there, and I've had an opportunity to watch it. And what I would say about culture just in general is just to remember that it really has to do with the people of the organization. And so when I think of that, I think of your band program. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask some questions, Tim, since I've been to Trey's program when it first started, and I know what it would look like and what he inherited and got to watch him work through some things over the years. And now when I go and I see his band program, it's a very distinctly different program, and the culture is one that I think is reflective of him and but also more importantly, the community that he lives in and the young people that walk through his doors. So it's not to say it's going to be the same every year, because I think he reacts to the personalities that come through the door, but I think it's a very important aspect. So Trey, can you talk a little bit about how you established the culture that you have, because it's a very positive one. When you go and you're around Trey and his kids, you can just tell that there's a cohesive unit, that there's an affinity for each other between him and the staff and the staff and the kids and what it is you all are trying to do together. So talk a little bit about how you've built that.
Well, it's something that, you know, we always kind of joke about younger band directors, which all of us were at some point in time. We're all old now. But we always say, you know, you don't know what you don't know when you're early on. You start teaching and you just had to figure it out. And I think one of the things that makes us, that we try to make as positive as possible, is that I've learned over the years as a band director, is it's almost more important that the kids understand that you want them to understand life, and then band comes after that. Like taking care of people, asking them, are you feeling okay today? I saw you, you know, you're upset, or I heard that your grandmother's sick, or, you know, teaching them about, if you do this in real life, you're going to get a great job. If you do this in real life, you may lose your job. And we really have tried to take the life approach first, band approach second, but all still the while on being accountable, being dedicated, learning to communicate, and all those important things, while being positive. We have a staff meeting every week. And one of the things that we talk about first is, what are we doing this week? And where are the kids' heads? Like, what are we going to have to do this week for the kids to understand that we need to bust it, but that they still have a good time inside of it? And also looking for the places, like one of the things that Bobby Lambert, who's at Wando in South Carolina, always says around me is that Bassett does band camp better than anybody in the country. He always says that and laughs. Because we've learned to go to what tends to be the most miserable times of band, which can be the 9 to 9 days of band camp, and have figured out a system of where the kids are actually having a great time. So those are the things we look for. Is Scott, my middle school band director, Scott Allred, and I talk about it all the time, and he says, we have to eliminate all negative band experiences. Anytime we see one coming, we have to figure out how to get rid of it before it gets here. And if it gets here and we don't see it coming, how do we flip it to a positive band experience? We try to stay as far as possible away from quote unquote negative band experiences. So that's, you know, that we talk about those again before we even talk about what are we fixing this week? What's not working? What guard work are we adding this week? A lot of our stuff is, okay, we got this week. I have noticed, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, hey guys, it's sick week. Like we've gone 3 weeks in a row of Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, a game on Friday, and either a practice on Saturday or a contest on Saturday. So there's going to be some kids that are sick. There's going to be some kids who have a bad ankle. Like we can either yell at them or we can understand and pick them up and move on. And those are the things that we talk a lot about with the kids and with the staff members.
Yeah. So you see them as people. And so, And so I think that and that's evident when you visit your program and you know, when you think about, what theory says about how you have an organization that is generative or has a synergy for whatever it is that you're trying to do, or excellence in this case, in trying to always move forward, that it's about those connections that you make with the people involved in the organizations. We know that we have to be able to take care of more than just playing the right notes and hitting the right dots or playing the right musical phrase. And so it's really great that you all care so much about the whole student and really try to educate the whole student. And for me, I think that when you talk about culture, that's the first day, number one part of what we're doing. You know, you back in 1999, the first time I ever heard the phrase, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, was at Midwest. And Richard Crane was giving a talk. And I think you and I went in and sat down. And I wrote that on a note card and I stuck it up on my desk and it changed the way I taught.
Absolutely.
Because up till then, I thought it was all about just playing right notes and getting them to do it faster or better or in tune. And what I realized was, I got to teach the kids. I got to teach them about more than just right notes and playing in tune, that there's a lot more that you can do. And truthfully, my band got better because I started really thinking about the connections that we were making and the fact that they were people and not just widgets sitting in a chair playing an instrument.
Well, I think some of it of that too is the more you show that heart to the kids, the more they go home and talk about it, and the more the parents trust you. I know a lot of people talk about, parents are emailing me every day and they're on my back and all this stuff. And how do you deal with it? And I say, at Bassett, I don't a whole lot. Like, I don't go through a ton of parent emails of this person is mad and this happened and whatever, because they get to the point where they trust that we are doing what is in the best well-being of their student for life, not for marching band or concert band. And they start learning really quick. And I think when they're younger, when their kid is younger, when it's a freshman parent, it takes a little bit and they go, they want band to be my child's life. No, I do not want, I do not want band. Like, if you tell us you're going to be here and you agree to the calendar, then that is the commitment that we expect. However, we do not expect band to be your life. There are other things that are way more important. We say this all the time, especially at Bassett. Typically, we'll have 110, 115 in the marching band. And I'm well aware that probably one, maybe two of those kids want to be band directors. And the other 108 want to be a doctor, a contractor, what nurse, work at a bank, own their own business or whatever. Like, we are very aware that we are making adults, not band directors. And I think sometimes people get completely caught up into, the flat five chord and the diminished this and all that stuff's important. But like, does a kid know how to act when they get out of school? Do they know what's going to be expected of them as an adult or as a college student and those type of things? So we really try daily, at band camp, I always start off, and this year I did it too, and just say, my number one goal for this week is your safety. It's not the march. It's not marching. It is not the opener. It is not the music. It is not your friendship. Your number one goal is safety. We tell them that every day, especially if it's hot.
Yeah.
Even a couple of weeks ago, it may have been a week or two ago, and we were trying to finish the closer or something, and it was 98 degrees outside. And we went in, talked, and we rehearsed on pavement. And I said, hey, we're going to do this. And I said, we're not going to go out till later. And why is that? And one of the kids said, because you're more concerned about our safety. Absolutely. Nobody wants to stand that. So they understand that from day one, that we're not there to beat them up so that we can go out and win band contests.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what builds up the credibility, to your point earlier about the credit builds up your credibility with parents, because part of the reason is because it's a 6-12 program. As you said, the kids know you from middle school with Mr. Allred, and the parents have opportunities to see you, and they know that you have the kids' best interests at heart. So you have a chance to build up credibility with them, and that's really important. And one of the reasons why, when maybe Johnny or Susie comes home with a story about what Mr. Harris, Mr. Harris this or Mr. Harris this today, and the parents go, well, why do you think Mr. Harris, there's a conversation with the student about why do you think Mr. Harris did that? And, you know, more importantly, the kids realize that you're making decisions correct. That are in their best interest and really about their well-being over any kind of accolades that you might be working toward with the students for the program that you're doing. So that that gets you what, as Mr. Perry Elliott would say, that puts a lot of money in the bank for when you need to make a withdrawal someday, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Here, Trey, so you mentioned that you have a 6 through 12. So for a lot of us, so, you know, I didn't have 6 through 12. I did while I was at Halls. I mean, I knew that, as a matter of fact, I taught the kids in sixth grade in Halls along with the other directors. But, you know, so, but at Newsom and a couple of, in one of my other band programs, we didn't have 6 through 12. So I would have to spend a lot of time during eighth grade trying to go down and meet the eighth graders and then, of course, have some meetings with the parents in the spring to try to establish relationships and to go ahead and start trying to put some money in the bank so that I could have that build up that credibility that you're just talking about and that level of trust that it takes in order to be able to lead a program and have folks not be concerned that you're not making a decision that's in the best interest of their kids. How much of that do you still do? I mean, is there anything you do with kids specifically in eighth grade?
Well, it's different this year. I've seen the eighth grade every year. The way the schedule works at the middle school, he would have two blocks of eighth grade in the morning when I go over there. This year they've switched the itinerants and now he sees seventh grade. So I don't get to see them as much. I'm going to try to go over some, later on. But yeah, some of the stuff that we try to do is, I go to all of his concerts. He comes to all of mine. Typically, I will begin his concert. I will go out and say, good evening. Glad you're here tonight, or welcome, or blah, 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 and go through the, if you please turn off your cell phone and, you know, these things and talk. Sometimes we'll even read off the NAFME, the 10 concert etiquette things, and how hard the kids have worked. And my name is Trey Harris. I'm the band director at Bassett High School. Blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, without further ado, you please welcome to stage Mr. Scott Allred and the sixth grade Philo Console bands. And then he'll do the same thing for me at the high school. I'll stay behind the curtain and he'll come out and he'll do the announcement, do all those things. They obviously all know who he is. But again, they kind of see us as a team. And even if they don't get to meet me or whatever, they all go, oh, that's the high school guy right there. Yeah. And he's here at the concert.
So let me shift the conversation a little bit, because I want to talk about, I just was sitting here thinking about, you know, when I first became a band director, because I mentioned before the thing from Richard Crane, that the first time I heard the thing from Sir Giovanni, I just remember, and I think you and I probably talked about this 20 some odd years ago. Used to stand on the sideline at a band contest and you'd see a band, see Lassiter come out, or when David Starnes was at Kennesaw Mountain, of course, we were both much younger then, Kennesaw would come out, or Lafayette. Like, you just see somebody come out that who was really big and they would be really great. But, you know, my kids might go out and perform and have some kids out of step. And then I'd look out there and they'd have kids out of step. And, you know, but you watch the band and they're so great. And you think to yourself, how in the heck is he getting them to do that? Right. And you think, well, all right, I'm gonna go watch so-and-so rehearse. And you go over and you watch him rehearse and you go, okay, well, he's not really doing anything that I'm not doing. So, and then what you figure out as you get older is it's the culture pieces. It's the routines that they have set up, the procedures. And for me, what I'm really trying to drive at is the fact that they involve the kids in some of the decision-making and put them in charge of some aspects of that in order to get ownership from the young people around what you're doing.
Right. And back to what you were saying about concerts a minute ago, this ties right back into it. We do try to get a lot of kids with kids. And one of the things that we do is we have a group of kids every time that Scott has a middle school concert, a group of our kids go And they all sit and watch. And, you know, we talk about after the concert, and they'll come up on stage and they'll, you know, if they're a trombone player, they'll go see the trombone players, go, "Hey, hey, my name's, you know, my name's Trey, and I play, you know, trombone at the high school, and you guys were awesome." I was like, whether they were awesome or not, it doesn't matter. All they care is that a high school kid came up and told me I was awesome. And right. then we always have, you know, a crew of about 8 to 10 kids, and they come to every middle school concert, and they clean off the stage for Mr. Allred. Like, when the concert's over, they get every chair, every stand. He doesn't touch anything, but the kids from the middle, they get to talk to all the kids and mill around and tell them how great the flute sounded. And that was my favorite song ever that you played. And, you know, I'm so glad I came tonight, and we can't wait to see you next year or in a couple years. And you're a superstar. I tell them all the time, just tell them they're a superstar. They don't know that you couldn't hear them play by themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, golly, I saw you playing, and you must be great. Mr. Allred must love you, because just the way you sat in that chair, I can tell you really love band.
Right.
And then they see people cleaning the stage and moving the percussion back. But the other piece of that is the parents also see that too. You know, the parents of 6th, 7th, and 8th grade people, they see that and they go, "Oh, wow. Like, that might be my kid one day coming right. over here to help." And that, you know, those are the type of things you're talking about, the decision making. You know, we have a pretty large leadership program that we do every year, mm-hmm. and allowing them to make decisions about the band program. And we, you know, we do a lot of stuff, and we have a meeting every week. I know a lot of band directors do that with their leadership team. And, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, this is something very elementary, but again, Halloween falls on Thursday this year, and we're off on Friday. I think the football team has an open date, and we have state championships the next day. So I just went in a couple weeks ago and said, "Hey guys, you know, Halloween's always kind of tricky, and all of you have younger brothers and sisters, and you know, it's like, so I'm open if you guys would like to move the practice to Friday. We can take Halloween off. I think it'll make it easier on your families and everybody. But if you want to keep Thursday, that's great. Totally up to you. I'll let you guys discuss for a minute, and then we'll decide." And they all were like, "Oh, let's take Thursday off and let's do Friday, because that way it'll be easier to load the truck for state, and we'll get that, and we get that Thursday off." And so just allowing them, you know, to make decisions. We have a lot of different groups inside of the leadership team, and they have pretty free reign. I mean, they still have to come and say, "We would like to do this. We would like to do this," but we really challenge them to make the decisions for the betterment of the band. You know, another thing we do with kids is when Scott has, like getting ready for middle school all district and those things, he'll have Saturday practices. A lot of our high school kids will go, and literally, and part of this is because they love Scott Allred. I mean, they love him. Is they'll go at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and stay from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock and sit with their trombone in the middle of 7th and 8th grade trombone players and play the middle school all district piece, you know, or take them on a scale or do this. But again, the coolness to a middle school student that a senior in high school was sitting here playing with me, they see that as I can't wait to get up there. That's kind of what we try to create.
Hear the entire webinar conversation on building the band culture at marchingartseducation.com. You can find a link to that webinar where this podcast is located at marchingroundtable.com. If you're a fan of the Marching Roundtable, please tell a friend or colleague about us and consider giving us a review on iTunes to help us reach more people. Also, you can really support us by becoming a member. For as little as $2 a month, you can get access to over 800 podcast releases and help us keep creating and sharing this great information. Go to marchingroundtable.com and click on Podcast Membership. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Blue House Mallets, found at malletbuilder.com. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. Hear my marching band show arrangements at timhinton.com.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach. And with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.